The fact that is everybody. Just if you would start some more prayer, please.
God, Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with us during this men's meeting and help us to be mindful of your goals and to be blessed with your wisdom to make the best decisions for the furtherance of the kingdom and for the saving of souls. We send this prayer in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you very much. First off, Rick wanted to address the men, so we're going to add that to the beginning of the meeting. So, Jim.
Josh, quick question. Are we going to record it? Ellen posted a question about recording it.
It's already been recorded.
Okay. Yes. Oh, good. Okay.
And by the way, this is Rick and his family are considering placing membership with us, and that's why he wants to talk with us. All yours.
Do I need to come up there?
You're fine there.
So typically you would sit down with the elders and you discuss, you know, where you stand with the congregation, where the congregation stands in their endeavors and their appeals to things. Being that there is not eldership at the moment, you know, this meeting is what happened that we have. So yes, we do desire to work with a local congregation. Y'all are definitely top on the list. What we're trying to find out is you know, kind of, what I'd like to do is if there's anybody that has a problem with us placing membership, feel free to come to us, ask us questions, whatever. I don't think that we would be out of alignment with anything, but, you know, that's why I want to put it out there. If anybody has questions on where we stand, we can get that taken care of.
That would have gone
much better.
With the exception of my child, you know, leading all their brigade here.
Well, these two girls were trying to stop us before that.
Well, I appreciate that. Does anybody have any questions for Rick right now? I mean, some of us know him better than others.
And just to kind of throw it out there, it is my wife, my son, and myself that are members of the church. Obviously, Willie's not there yet.
I was just going to say, he has my commendation.
Yeah, I second that. I don't have any issues with him placing the ship right now, if you want.
I don't know if it's by information, but we know you'd be a faithful man, and you haven't been for years, so unless there is an objection, I would love to say that.
Objections to that?
He accepts us. We accept him.
Well, welcome
now,
to the fault, dude.
One question I do have that I don't know that I've really done my research on. I know that there was a recent split. I don't know what happened with any of that. If anybody wants to explain that to me, that's fine. We don't have to do it now or anything like that.
I can talk with you about that when we get together.
Yeah,
for another.
That's fine. Just so I know the history.
Yeah, and we have some material that's on the website that's available.
Okay.
Perfect. That's good. All right, so to the agenda, I gave you a financial printout. Again, nothing specific that I wanted to go over, just informative. That's the last quarter, and as you look at the top, that is from April 1st through June 30th. So those are the numbers there. If you do have any questions, let me know. Nothing really outside of the ordinary except for the... the tree, that's not even on there because that was in July. No? What was that, June? No. You're right. The only extra expense really was the cutting down of those trees over there. That was in June. So that is in there under the building maintenance, the grounds where you've got that $29.25. Other than that, it's pretty much just our normal expenses. Any questions about the finances? Okay. Second on the list... Brother Dick Hatch. Oh, yes, Dick.
What's the balance?
The balance right now is it's right at $103,000. I forgot to write that on there this time. Next on the list, Brother Hatch wanted to discuss possible benevolence opportunities due to the COVID pandemic, specifically in the Philippines. He sent me an email that was reported to him from Brother Ron Halbrook, who does work there in the area and is familiar with some of the situations. And basically, they're unable to, a lot of them are unable to get out and go to work because of the lockdowns in the area, shutdowns. And maybe he sent an email that most of them are day laborers, and if they don't work today, they can't feed their family the next day. So it's a day-to-day situation. And, of course, there's always needs in those areas, in those countries. And so did you have anything to add to that, Dick?
Well, all I know is that, like in the hurricanes, some places are okay, some aren't too good, and then it changes back and forth, and things like that. Some of them more or less ready to go. Some are gaining, as somebody, as the church, and others have meeting in their home, things like that. But it depends on where you are.
Right.
And, of course, the same as all over the rather country, it's that way. And the problem is that they're the needy saints who are needy before the third-party virus thing. So it's even worse for them.
Certainly.
And it's mentioned in the Philippines that Ron Hallbrook, along with the others, they raised $100,000 to help the needy saints there. And you read the email that I got from them that still have problems there. I'm sure they must have problems in India and in Zimbabwe and others. We've been noticed some there that they have food shortage, so that we can't send them food because they're confiscated or whatever. So.
Right. Yeah, I think it's pretty much in all those places been established the best way to help if we decide to help is to send money directly to the
places to help out
individuals. So are we wanting to help some of the brethren in those areas? I'll leave that kind of open to discussion, especially during this specific pandemic period. Perhaps do something for the duration of this. I don't know, to certain individuals. It's just an idea. I said the concern was brought up. Is that, what do y'all think about that? Just to review, currently we're sending money to the Philippines. We're sending money to the Indian preachers, our regular support. We decided to extend Sister Pramila's support for her since her husband died, the preacher we were supporting in India through next year. And then we are also sending $300 a month to Brother Amire Kuwe in Africa. And so that's where we're at right now as far as our monthly contributions or benevolent work outside of the congregation.
Personal thoughts on it. I recently been reading, I read it actually, Proverbs 3 just last night. If a call is made, if request for assistance from your brother is made and you have the ability to do it, it would be wrong to not. So that's my personal opinion on that one, based on scripture, as well as in James, we're told that to say, could be one filled. Well, we have it on us now, it would also be wrong. So I'm for helping, absolutely. But the question I have is, who and how much are we, is necessary?
And one of the things to keep in mind, there's always a need. I mean, the brethren over there in those areas, there's endless needs as far as that's concerned. And so I think what we need to do is figure out what we're able to do. That way, because we do have that balance of another 3,000 total, but we also have a big building. We don't want to overspend to where we can't take care of ourselves if the need arises.
Right.
Right now, we're about We're about, if I didn't get the monthly, I think it's between $1,500 and $2,000 is what we've been consistently getting in the black as far as our spending to our contribution per month. So we do have some room there as of now if we wanted to allocate a few hundred dollars a month towards one of these areas.
I think the most difficult thing to determine is to who.
To who, you're right.
Who is specifically needing it, and how do we get it to them. To be honest, personally, I would prefer not to go through Brother Halbert's organization. That's not an organization, it's an individual account that he set up that makes it tax exempt. But I would prefer us to just send the money directly to a congregation or congregations that we need.
And we have done that recently. We sent money to the Philippines. The brother's name, I'm not remembering, but we can inquire of him if there's a need, some more need in that area.
We have a brother who's regularly sending money to the brethren in the Philippines. So he's got a ready way to do that. The preachers that he's supporting, he might communicate with them and see if they might know who would need funds like that. And if we decide to do that, then we could just add it on to Dick's support and send it with it.
That's a good idea. Would you be okay with that, Dick, contacting the men that you support in the Philippines and seeing who more directly needs that? Instead of sending the money to Ron, we'll send it to an addition onto the preachers in the Philippines that you sent?
I didn't quite hear, but anyway, said, and Mary heard what you said. That we can say.
Are you okay with finding out from your contacts in the Philippines, the men that you, because you send money to some of the preachers there in the Philippines, correct?
Right. And on top of that, when that, of course, a few months back, we sent, helped out with where they had that earthquake, something real bad, and they hadn't got over that yet, you know. They're still just living in tents, and they're building small houses for them, and some are still, you know, sleeping outside and all that.
Well,
because everything ruined, you know. So there's a lot of need there. There's Ron Hogworth or Jim McDonald, where Jeremiah, his mentor one time. Jim, what is his name?
McDonald.
What's his name?
That sounds right.
Jim McDonald?
Yeah.
I never can remember his name.
Right.
We were in Oklahoma there where Jeremiah was preaching one time.
Harry Osborne?
Jim who?
Harry Osborne?
Yeah. And he's one contact that's who we sent the money to, I think, the other time.
I know, but I think that there are several that are more comfortable with sending it directly to the Philippines ourselves instead of sending it to another person over here and then sending it. And you had direct contact with some of them, and so that's...
Well, all I know is that in that email I sent you that you can send it directly to one of them. This man and his wife that live over there, they're from the States, I believe, and they take care of that. Or like you did the last time with Jim McConnell or whatever, Tom Donald or whatever. But so.
Hey, Dick. The idea is if we gave you money, could you send it with your money to the preacher you're supporting and have him administer it by giving it to those who need it? Would that work?
Give it to the church rather than the needy?
No, to the preachers you're supporting and have them oversee giving it to the needy. Let them identify who needs it.
Well, that's one way, yeah.
Would it be easy for you to do that, to take money from the congregation and send it along with your money?
But some of those don't have a problem where they are. They don't seem to anyway.
Yeah.
It sounds like we need to get more specifics on it.
But they have, of course, those of the earthquake haven't got over yet with the damage it did. And that's the congregations in more or less in that area. And some congregations they can meet. And they have to I know in the Philippines they got to get a to go to the market. You got to get a pass to go to the market one day a week. When you leave, you get buy everything for a week because you won't be able to go out again because that's lacked some, and so they're back to work again. Some places, and some places aren't. I know in Manila, they put on the news, you know, what's going on there, but it's all. So what do you need then?
Josh, I move we table it and do some research like Josh was
asking. All right. Anybody have an objection with that, table on that? We'll look into it a little bit more between, you know, next few weeks. And again, we don't have to wait till next business meeting. We find out some stuff. We can. It's pretty much been agreed on, it seems like, that we want to help somewhere. And so once we get those specifics, we'll get that out.
I'll contact the brother that we sent money to during the earthquake and see what their situation is. I've got a Facebook messenger string going in.
That will work. All right, next on the agenda, next week's gospel meeting. We had said back in April-ish that we would reschedule our May meeting for August and have an August and November meeting. That's coming up in a few weeks. My suggestion is that we postpone that and possibly reschedule. We're going to have Mickey Galloway come. But reschedule that for our next open spot if possible. I believe next spring maybe. I'd have to look at the calendar, but next spring I think we have an opening. Possibly he can come then. But the reason I suggest that is even if Ron is willing to come and even if there are some willing to have him, when we're talking about a gospel meeting, we want to have the most impact as possible. And even if we could have it, if there's only going to be, you know, 10, 15 people a night and really nobody visiting from the area or other congregations because of the pandemic and what's going on, I think it'd be better served to have it at a future date when it could be more effective. Yes, Jim?
So would we aim the next meeting, aim for the November meeting being our first meeting? Is that what you're saying?
I think so. Everywhere is kind of a fluid situation now, but I think we would just consider the November meeting with Jeremiah being the next one since that's already scheduled and try to get Mickey a future date.
It's next up. Opening? I agree with that.
Does anybody have any objections to that or any other suggestions?
Well, it's worse in Texas now than it was when we
right.
Started off first.
No, it's, I think we're having our way now. Okay, so the fourth one, discuss mitigation procedures and services due to COVID-19. I think Josh and Jim had a couple of things y'all wanted to mention as far as changing up how we did some of the doors or...
We're all going out the doors and touching anyway on the way out. And with the summer heat, my only concern is that with the summer heat, the way it is now, today is going to be 104. It's hard. The AC's fixed, by the way.
It's better today than it was last week.
But like when it wasn't, it was real. It wouldn't keep up. But just opening the doors like in the morning.
The big question I have, Josh is saying, is does anybody have a big deal with having to open the doors? The doors not being left open. Does anybody have a problem?
Does anybody object to closing the doors and opening them instead of them being propped open anymore?
You mean still all the time? Just close them during services?
No, they're closed during services.
What they're saying is at the beginning when we have them open because of the heat.
Especially on Wednesday night, the air conditioner just can't keep up on Wednesday night if you open those doors.
I think with sanitizer and wipes available going in and out, most people have sanitizer in their car now. The contact, the chance of it of conveyance is significantly low, especially if you come in and you sanitize immediately. I don't see an issue.
I know the original reason was to try to please as many people as possible and try to go to the
but it wasn't just that. There are some individuals that do have some real problems.
Concerns.
Even problems with the fact that we've relaxed a little bit our which is a natural thing to do, but we're not as, what's the term? We're not doing as good a job with regard to social distancing and those things we've done in the past. What I would like to remind everyone of, and I don't have a probably one way or the other, because that's what I do. I'm the one opening and closing the doors all the time. But to keep in mind that, again, it's worse now than it was. And we're talking about possibly expanding the services for those of us who feel confident to do it. And what we need to do is be more on our guard and less. And so if we're going to do something like that, we'll need to make sure that there is maybe sanitary stations right there at the doors, or those kinds of things. And if anyone is of a mindset where they don't want to touch, then we be there to make it where they can come in. But again, those doors right there, they're open, not supposed to be open according to the plans we have. Everybody's supposed to come in and sit down, do their mixing outside, but we're not doing what we were once doing. And so, you know, that's just one other thing. And I understand the point of it, because I'm not wearing a suit right now because of the heat. That's the main reason I'm preaching my church suit for the first time in my entire life.
Well, one of the suggestions I was going to make too is we could kind of put it on the lobby person. If you see somebody approaching doors, open the door for them. That way, only the lobby person is opening doors from the inside. The people coming in don't have to. So we could kind of put that on whoever's in the lobby. If you see somebody coming up to the door, open the door for them. And I don't think anybody on lobby duty has a problem doing that. So if you see somebody approaching, especially a visitor, if you see a visitor approaching, open the door for them. You know, make sure you have your mask on, obviously. You know, point out that we do have hand sanitizer and stuff like that. So
we also, I wanted to ask the question about, as part of this, is masks. Turns out you can get like 100 of the cloth masks pretty cheap. And not cloth, but the paper masks. And I thought maybe we could buy some masks. I bought 500 gloves. They're supposed to come in today. I'd like someone to start doing the Lord's Supper again instead of me. Wear your mask, put on the gloves, prepare it. And we can buy gallons worth of sanitizer and fill up some bottles too, because they're not being used like they could be. We could put more out, those kinds of things. I'm just saying, keep in mind this, that some of us I am not as germophobic as I need to be because of my condition, and I know that. And I'm trying to make myself even more careful, but it's just not in me to be as careful as some people are. But there are some people who really have a concern or problem with this. And we need to make sure that everyone is comfortable. And if we make some changes, we need to accommodate the comfort needs of those who remain. And like you said, I mean, with Craig's, for example, just because they come in that back door, I would just simply leave that back door open until they get in. Because they come early, I can close it quickly.
So what about this? Does anybody have an objection to leaving that back door open? And then, you know, we can close and monitor the front doors, like you said, with the lobby. And we can also put hand sanitizers right by the doors so that those that come in can get it right away as soon as they come in. I think in the beginning there was a little bit of a shortage in hand sanitizer, but I don't think that's really an issue anymore. So we should be able to get plenty, put it on the stool. You know, like we've got that right there by the Lord's Supper tray, and we'll put some
bigger bottles.
Yeah, put some bigger bottles by the doors. Anybody object to that? Okay. And then the final one.
Well, let's go back again to the mitigation procedures, because Stan brought up the fact that we're not doing a good job. We came up with a pretty good protocol to begin with, and how to enter and exit, how to visit, and we're pretty abysmal right now as far as that goes. Someone who sits over here in overflow will come in the front door and cross through pews. We see people before services crossing through pews and visiting before services. A lot of visiting afterwards, not even 6 feet, we're talking 3 feet. I see a lot of masks being worn, which is good, but 6 feet is a lot farther than what we think. We tend to think a yard when we're thinking 6 feet, and that's half. That's only half. So that's something that we need to think about. We're safe as long as the virus isn't in here. If someone comes in and brings it in, then we're very vulnerable. Whether they're asymptomatic or presymptomatic, we got circulation that will circulate it. And, you know, for that reason, I would at least ask the brethren to consider wearing the masks the whole period, the whole service. I was able to wear it the whole service and was able to sing fine. I'd like to know if anybody didn't hear me, couldn't hear me. But that's not even important. The masks may end up being very important right now because of our situation. It's very bad in Texas. Stan said something about that. We don't need to start arguing statistics because we're not really qualified to do that. We need to be extra vigilant and careful. Do our visiting out on the lawn like we were doing. Don't do it in the building. Go ahead after services are over. Go straight outside. Two Sundays ago, Dick needed to see Stan and me about something, and I normally just leave. And I went back to the foyer, and it was crowded. Everybody that I could see was wearing their masks, but there was no social distancing at all. So we definitely need to do better about that. I don't know how we could do that. Other congregations actually have ushers bring people in. Others will actually make announcements at the end of services on what to do. We did that once or twice about after services over, exit the building and visit outside. We have been doing that.
I think part of that too is because the heat recent weeks.
Yeah.
We can add that to our announcements, so maybe reiterate.
Yeah, just reiterate those protocols.
I put a few extra slides up to the announcements slides.
That'd be good. Or a handout or something.
I would also add that though some people may not feel it as being a big deal, to think about the others as well. If like Paul said, I wouldn't eat meat if it caused my brother to stumble. If this is a problem that some people are having, we need to be vigilant and help them out during this time.
Exactly.
Anybody else as far as number four is concerned? Okay, to number five, the results of the survey, talk about how we want to proceed with the schedule of services. Just real quickly to review, and Rick, what we did was we sent out a survey to the members to ask them what they thought about different options as far as adding services and such. 20% responding continue as is with only one service on Sunday, which the survey was sent out shortly before we decided to go ahead and add the Wednesday night. 20% said have Bible class at 10 a.m. with one worship at 11. 11% said have worship at 10, Bible class at 11. Nobody said... Well, I'll just get it since somebody said it, because I don't want confusion. The 31% said return to normal schedule of services, 9, 10, 11. Worship service with Lord's Supper served. 5% said return to our normal services, but serve Lord's Supper at the 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. I'll talk about that more in a minute. And then 4% said, or 11% said they don't attend services right now because of the pandemic anyway, so it didn't concern them. Really, guys, this survey, it's all over the place. We're not going to be able to come to a consensus on a specific return to normal services or adding one or adding a class and not a service or adding a service, not a class. And so my suggestion is there are about 40% that want to add something to what we're doing now, whether that's just a worship or a class on Sundays or all three services. And then we've already decided we've been doing Wednesday night classes. The issue with the Lord's Supper at the 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. hour, the reason that was suggested is because some that are uncomfortable with coming to all three services would be comfortable coming to the first service and then leaving. The reason that they're not comfortable coming to all three is because of the fear, a little bit about what Dennis talked about. If somebody does happen to have the virus and comes, then the longer we're here, the more it can circulate through the air and the more problematic it becomes. And so for those that aren't comfortable staying at all three services, they would be able to come at the 9 a.m. worship and partake of the Lord's Supper with the brethren, and then be able to leave after that. So My question is, if we were to do that, the 9 a.m. service with the Lord's Supper, then have class at the 10 o'clock, and then our 11 o'clock service as we're doing now, and I suggest we offer this Lord's Supper at the 11 as well. We've done that. It's basically what we were doing before we decided to change our worship services by having it on Sunday night, offering the Lord's Supper on Sunday night. But is there anybody, what we need to figure out is there anybody that would be still unwilling or uncomfortable coming if we decided to have all three services but did the Lord's Supper on the first service because of the bottle? Does that make sense? I feel like if we can make it comfortable for those that are only comfortable coming to one, to come to one while we have all three, for those that do want to and feel obligated to have all three and would like to have all three, if we can accommodate both there, I feel like that would be the best option. But perhaps we can't accommodate both. That's what we need to discuss. I think you had your hand up first, Josh.
I go to a Cowboys game right now with 100,000 people. I don't care. But that's just me. I think that we should table it for another month because everything's going crazy right now. I don't think that making a decision on it right now is going to be the best thing for everybody, because I think we're going to have too many people that are... there is an increase right now. Whether that's going to abate in a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I don't know. I'm not, you know. My wife is telling me that they're older than they've ever been.
Yes.
But is that anecdotal at her place? I don't know. I just think that right now is not the right time to add any more than what we've already added to Wednesday. And that's not because I feel that, personally feel that way, but just, I think we should delay this discussion just a little.
Well, see, I don't know that we should delay the discussion necessarily, because if we can't accommodate everybody right now, I think we should go ahead and do that. Like, I understand there are going to be those that aren't comfortable with adding the services because of what's going on in adding cases. Again, me personally, the cases doesn't matter to me. It's either safe to meet or it doesn't. You know, and to me, if it's safe to meet once, I don't 100% agree with the viral load. I get that it's possible, but in a big building that is, you know, is... it's 25% capacity. I'm not worried about that. I understand how others would be, which is why the 9 o'clock option. Again, I think it's, can we accommodate, you know, the people that are only comfortable attending once and the ones that want to add the services?
Can I go first really quick? Josh made a motion. We need to ask if anyone seconds it. I second it. We need to discuss that before we move on.
Okay. Anybody second tabling the discussion until...
No, not the discussion. Tabling the doing of it. We can discuss it.
Okay.
But the actual doing of it, we need to put off.
Josh proposed waiting a month to make a decision. Dennis seconded it.
No.
The decision. We can discuss it. It's not decided.
I know. I think the decision will come.
Oh, okay.
Discussion.
See, that's my problem. Like, Josh's.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking Josh Fox had made the proposal. So that's what was surprising.
So the matter to discuss now is whether.
Okay.
We did. We put off the decision.
Then I do have something.
Can I clarify? I'm sorry. The only reason I suggested that we table it for. And I'm not even saying table for a month, table for a couple weeks. I don't care, but where we're at right now, it's hard to make a decision that's going to, because we don't know what's going to happen. We can make a decision to be like, hey, let's go to all three services again in, you know, 2 weeks. And 2 weeks down the road, we're still at the same place we are right now. May not be the best idea. I'm just saying that. I don't know what I'm saying.
Okay, my point of view in this, I'd like to share with you very quickly. I'm reaching the point to where I feel in this process that initially it's been what now 7 months?
No.
No.
Five.
Six, five.
the end of March, so
March.
April, May, June, 3.5. Well, about four.
Well, I'm talking about from the time we made that first discussion.
It was about March 15th was our first discussion.
That's a long time. When we initially had our discussion with regard to this, there are two things that we emphasized. Something needs to be done because we're in danger. And secondly, there was the concern at that time that the government may preclude our worship. What do we do in regard to that? And the decision was made at that time for each to respect the conscience of others in this regard, which I think was a very good one. My conscience is to the point where I'm concerned about sufficiently about this congregation, by my own spiritual well-being, that continuing in this direction without knowing what's going to happen in the future is being disruptive to our group and to me personally. So with regard to this, what I don't know is why it would be a problem for everyone to continue doing what they're doing. Those who are not coming to come, not come. Those who are only willing to come for an hour, only come to an hour. Those who are, which is not 40%, it's almost 70% of the brethren are wanting to increase. Only 20% say the same, 11% are not coming anyway. The other 70%, something like that, are to increase it in some way or another, either just add one class or all three. So that's a pretty big majority that want to do something extra. And I'm to the point where I feel that I need to do something extra. And I know that not everyone feels that way. And I'm not asking anyone else to do that if they don't feel comfortable to do it. My question is, would it be something that would be make individuals uncomfortable themselves personally? Because that's what we're concerned about. It's what makes me uncomfortable personally, what makes you uncomfortable personally. Is there anything about having the three with the 9 a.m. worship with the Lord's Supper where people who only want to come an hour can come an hour? People want to come 2 hours, which some of this congregation, some of this group do, to come 2 hours. And some of us who feel that we want to get back to what we were doing before, that we could do it. And let each individual decide for themselves as we try to maybe even do better with the protocols and all that, as we decide to how we're going to be impacted by the pandemic, to be allowed to do that as we see fit instead of being compelled to not do as much as we feel that we need to do because someone else is uncomfortable with doing as much as what we feel we need to do.
That's kind of the point I was trying to make.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, tabling it. What happens for a month? There's a real good chance.
Unless we decide that can't be done.
I almost guarantee in a month the numbers are still going to be high in Texas. They may be on their way down, but they're still going to be high. This is our way right now. And what difference?
I go back to school.
I'm frustrated because I'm having a hard time explaining myself and describing this. I don't want for anyone in our congregation to feel compelled to do something that they feel puts them in danger. And the decision we made in the beginning, that was it. But at the same time, a lot of time has passed. There's no end in sight. We don't know what's going to end. Some of us are really struggling with this. And if we could make it to where everybody can do their hour or 2 hours or the full 3 hours where each one can do what they're comfortable with, I don't know why that's something we shouldn't do.
I need
a reason why we shouldn't do that. Because we could be doing what individuals are doing right now. Some could just come for an hour. Some of us could do what our conscience.
But that's why I asked if we did the three, would there be anybody that didn't feel comfortable still coming to the 1 hour, didn't feel safe because the rest of us were going to stay? Because, like you said, I don't see any reason not to do that if that's the case. If us having all three all of a sudden caused those that could only feel comfortable with one not feel comfortable and not be able to come, that's another issue. But if we did the 9 o'clock,
let me add to the discussion thing. From what I see, what I really don't think that my efforts on Sunday afternoon, 5 p.m., to preach, which is not the same as worship, even that, I think there's been a decrease in participation with regard to the members as we're watching. Looking at the numbers that I see with regard to the youth law, not everyone's watching even that extra hour that I'm putting in the garden.
Just did you have something to add? Because Dennis,
yes, I
got you.
So, just to apply a little bit of logic to this, the question is how it's impacting each and every individual. That's the concern. So, when you look at the meeting at all, or the number of times we meet, that comes back to what Stan was talking about. Is someone's conscience going to be impacted? So, examples. Right now, we have people that don't attend on Wednesday, but do attend on Sunday. Are there presently people who can't do that in good conscience, even if they think it's not wise to come on Wednesday? Because those people will be impacted on Sunday if they thought they had to come to all three, if all three were offered. Now, that's a question of if those people exist. If those people don't exist, then it's moot. Now, as far as the Lord's Supper goes, the question is there anyone who would only feel comfortable coming for an hour, who would feel uncomfortable coming at 11, but would feel comfortable coming at 9? Because unless that person exists, then the people who are only going to come for 1 hour can just come at 11, and we can go back to exactly what we were doing before. The concern there would be if the viral load in the building has accumulated over 2 hours, and then you're walking into that higher viral load.
And I've heard that argument, which is why
it's only applicable if someone actually here feels that way. All of this is only applicable if somebody actually here feels that way. If they do, then you might as well only have the Lord's Supper at 9. Because I can't imagine a logical reason that someone would feel uncomfortable coming at 9, but comfortable coming at 11.
Well, they would, but it's just...
I know, it's just a little logic there for a second.
No, I understand your logic. But
the 11 o'clock service would be an accommodation to individuals who are not as strong spiritually.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
For that. So that's the reason that just like it is on Sunday morning and Sunday night, there's no conclusion. I'm just frustrated that we're only meeting once a week, and I feel like as it goes farther and farther along, that it's becoming more and more a habit with some.
So the question is, if we went to full 3 hours on Sunday, are there people whose consciences would be impacted? That's the question.
And even with that, you know, I was having a discussion with a brother the other day. You know, you talk about the weeping brother, Romans 14, and dealing with that. We got to be careful when we're making decisions. That's on an individual basis. You're making your brother stumble, the weaker brother. When we're making decisions based on the congregation, what's best for the congregation, we do need to keep in mind accommodating those where we can.
I'm following the logic tree here. We don't even ask that question unless the first question is yes. If the first question is no, there's no reason to even ask that question.
I can answer the first question. But Rick had a point first.
Well, so we've basically been church homeless since March. And we've been bouncing around a lot, and there's a lot of varying ideas that are out there, and all of them with the intent of preservation of the saints. And I completely understand it. But the thing that always comes back to me in my mind is, what is the purpose, what is one of the main purposes of assembling with the saints? It is to edify and to build up one another. And if we are getting weak of faith because of lack of attendance, then we need to resume. If you feel that it's a detriment to your health to do so, or whatever the case may be, if you don't feel like you can make it, that's fine. That's called, you know, your ox being in the ditch. You're not forsaking the assembly. You're preserving, you're trying to do what you can at that emergency time. And right or wrong, or whatever, I disagree or agree with that particular point of view, that's different than being able to actually offer that to people who need it for their faith. I know personally, I've gotten a lot weaker with not being able to be with brethren. I think that's what Stan's talking about as well, is as we've continued this process of lack of edification, we are not, and we're in essence being not built up as well as we could or should. And I know I've, even when we weren't with none of this COVID stuff, if I missed Wednesday night, I hated that because I felt weaker because of it. And the more it happened, the weaker I got. And so I would say, and this is my personal opinion, and I know I'm new to congregation here, but I would resume services like nothing ever happened. And if you can come, you can come. If you can't, you can't. It's a personal choice, and no one's going to look down on you for those decisions. That's my personal feeling.
Dennis, do you want to answer that question real quick? Mm-hmm. And then, I'm not even yet. I see you.
Let me take the mic so after y'all can hear me better.
I'm trying something new with the mask thing. Just for your information, 2 weeks ago when I led singing Sunday morning, it dawned on me that I was just blowing in Debbie's face. Because I really project when I lead singing. And I have no doubt this is not even 20 feet where she's sitting. So I thought, I've got to start wearing the mask. And then Donna always wears the mask, so I thought I would wear it with her. Tommy Davis can be with us, but he wanted me to speak for him. So he sent me something that he wanted me to share with y'all. It's very short, but after some discussion, he asked me if I wouldn't expound on it a little bit. And it does touch on what we're just now talking about with Justin. I completely agree with Stan. We need to get back, you know, to full services as soon as we can. And that's the whole discussion, is when can we do that? Stan is almost at the point where he's willing to risk life in order to do that. And that might be acceptable to the Lord to do that. Who's to say we should put our life before our spiritual health? But then we're also thinking our 3-hour assembly service is the solution to our nature of education. There's a lot more ways. Acts 2, they were meeting in their houses every day. So there's a lot of other things that can be done to strengthen us in a situation like this. But let me get to Tommy. His first point, he had 2 points. His first point was this. 18 of 31 respondents, plus 2 that he knows of who did not fill out the survey, so that's actually 20 of 33, voted for no change or just to add Bible class to the Sunday schedule. That's over half the members, or the half the respondents, okay? So that's, he wanted to make that point. Number 2, he said, if the men decide to have all 3 services on Sunday morning, it will offend my conscience if I don't attend a service. And he says, there are others who want to be anonymous who feel the same way. So there's at least 3 people to answer question number 1 who feel that way. He became concerned because talking with Ellen, she said that she wasn't really sure that people would understand what he was getting at with number 2. And so discussing that with him a little bit, he asked if I understood it. I said, I thought so. And he went on and said, like most of us, I have been trained, or like I have trained my conscience, like Rick, and most all of us, I know, to believe that if we're having church, I should be there. If the elders or the brethren call an assembly, We have an obligation to be at the assembly, period. That's the way we feel. That's what our conscience tells us. I said, well, of course, that's true. And I said, the brethren should take that into consideration. If there's only the one called assembly, then all is well. Everybody can come to the one called assembly, and no one has a problem with the second and third. If they call a three-hour assembly, he says that he would feel guilty of sinning himself, so now he's compelled to come when he and his wife don't feel safe to come. And that's exactly what we're talking about, not just being with two other people that weren't wanting to be anonymous. And Ellen might have been, I don't know. He didn't say. And so I said, in other words, trying to feel them out, the desires of some obligate you while your desires are, for lack of a better word, disregarded. I know that's not what's happening. We're not disregarding them. What we're hoping is that people in his situation can just come to the one, like God can do. Okay, come to the one and then not come to the others. He can't do that. He said that's exactly right. And he asked if I felt the same. And my answer was, most of the time I do, but my conscience personally will allow me to make an exception. And so I'm okay. I told him, not even the Lord put himself in harm's way needlessly in John 8:59 when he hid in the treasury of the temple and they wanted to stone him for saying before Abraham, I am. He hid and then he snuck out. But it was because it wasn't his time. That's what I said earlier in the chapter. But anyway, he didn't put himself in harm's way needlessly. So I guess what it comes down to when we're discussing this, we definitely need to assemble. That's God's requirement. God does not tell us how long to assemble. So for us to decide 1, 2, or 3 hours, that's strictly up to us. The Lord doesn't care. As long as we're meeting the needs, say how. As long as we're meeting the needs of the brethren. And if it turns out that we're not with the one service on Sunday and Wednesday, then that's something we need to look into. But what Tommy's asking is to leave it like it is. One service and one service. And if not, then at least, honor the request of the 20 of the 33 respondents. And either just do the one or do services of the Bible class.
Dennis, could I ask you, do you feel like we're meeting the needs of the congregation as it is now?
I don't know that we are. It depends on the individual. But what I was getting at a while ago is that if we're not meeting the needs of the individual, were we ever meeting the needs just by meeting three versus one? Is 3 hours the difference between meeting the need versus one? Or are we falling down in other ways, in other places? If we're weak because of this, we don't have enough spiritual strength to survive this, that we were weak to begin with, and we were weak all along. Josh?
I vehemently deny that.
Okay.
I vehemently deny that. I am stronger than a whole lot of the brothers and sisters here. Provably so. And that's bold to say.
That's a bold statement.
That is
I would not
bold
say something
statement.
Like that.
That I will give you the proof.
Oh, okay. I want to hear it.
I will give you the proof. I don't fear. I don't fear. I do not fear. The base of this is fear, brother. And it offends my conscience that you try to use yours to walk all over mine. I'm not weak. I have held up so much over these last several months. Not getting the things that I, as a brother in Christ, who meets and assembles on the first day of the week, cannot and does not get from my brothers and sisters. I have borne up under that. But one thing that we're forgetting here is the fact that the whole concept of assembly is what we call in the entrepreneurial world for meetings
the charcoal theory. When we come together, we light each other up. The more we separate, the harder it is, the absolute harder it is for us to stay burning. Now, Stan, I happen to know he is not weak.
He just said he's weaker.
He is weaker now.
Right.
He is weaker now. And we all are. And I believe you're lying to yourself if you're saying you're not.
I didn't say that. I've told Stan that I feel weaker.
So why do you... How is it that someone can walk over my conscience with theirs? Because I'm sitting here, I'm like, okay. I desire more. I flat out desire more.
I understand, but John 14...
Please let me speak. I did not interrupt you.
Hey, everybody, down one notch.
Make your point,
Josh, but just, I mean, he's not opposing you.
He's talking over me?
But we're not in opposition here. We're trying to reason
and
together.
I agree, but I'm trying to get my point out.
I got you. I'm just saying that your tone is a little
bit confrontational. For that, I apologize. I do get passionate, and I understand that. And for that, brothers, I apologize. I pray several times before this meeting on the way here and all last night that I would maintain a peace, a place of peace and of gentleness. And I apologize should I have not been gentle. But I do desire to be heard. I have been quiet for a long time, and I desire to be heard now. Okay. 2 Timothy. I mean, we could go to Revelation 21. We could go to Romans 8. In fact, let's go there. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as a son, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. First John 4, beginning verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, I don't think anybody hates his brother here. I certainly don't. But I don't feel loved, and let's continue. He is a liar, for he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. How do we show our love for one another? That's my question. How do we show our love for one another? Specifically, it's the edifying of one another. It is the coming together. We're told that in Hebrews chapter 10. We're told that. Hebrews chapter 10. This is how we provoke our one another to love and good works. That's how it's done. And we see this also in Ephesians chapter 4. We're talking about that. You bring up the fact that everybody met in each other's homes daily. When was the last time we did this? And the fact that we're in this situation now, everybody would freak out if we started doing that, meeting each other's homes daily. I mean, it's been said, we have to distance ourselves 6 feet. No. How we can't meet in each other's homes daily and distance 6 feet. I mean, we're in each other's environments at that point. And here's the other thing. For this is how the holy... 1 Peter 3. For this is how the holy women hoped in God, used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. The base cause of all of this, why we want to stay with one meeting, the base cause why we want to... why we want to stay 6 feet apart, why we want to cover our faces where we can't even get a holy smile, much less the holy hug, holy handshake, holy kiss. Things that are commanded for us to do is because we fear somehow of falling ill with something that might kill us. Somehow falling ill by something that might kill us. Not that we will die if we come to worship. Not that we will die if we shake a brother's hand. Something we might get
that might kill us. And to me, it offends my conscience when you're like, no. If you want to talk about an offended conscience, here's mine. This is mine. And it has become increasingly frustrating. Now, I have never done, honestly, for me, I have never done more personal diving into the Word of God than in these last several months. I mean, we talk about James, where he says, trials come, and how you bear up under that is a testament. I have. My knowledge base has actually grown. My knowledge base actually has grown. I know I talked about this in my topic the other night. My stature has grown in Christ. I actually gained a new knowledge base, and that was even after that topic was compelling to me about what I still have to do before I start building a whole ton of muscle. I need to continue to add my knowledge to my knowledge base. So there's that. I've discovered I have some actual room for growth, not development, just growth. But in that passage, our faith is said to be tested. But there's only so much distance from our brothers that can be allowed for this. The brothers in Shippensburg, Pennsylvania, I just had in my home over the weekend, the brothers and sisters from Shippensburg, Pennsylvania, they're not even through all of it, they haven't come close to what we've come to in the fear. The brothers in Huntsville, Texas, while they took the necessary precautions, as we all did in the very beginning, as we all did, they've gotten beyond that once they realize, ain't nobody gonna die. We do what we should do.
But that's not true, Josh. People can die.
Yes, people can die.
I want to go. I got to worship as well as you do. But
I know. Okay. I know. That was.
You made one assumption though in your comments that I would like to correct. You assumed that there would be people that would have problems with meeting in the homes. Not everybody would. I'm sure,
sure.
There some would.
Sure.
But I would actually offer that as a compromise for the situation. We have people on both sides of the fence here that are adamant about their positions, and I completely understand both sides. So for those that are feeling weaker and they need to assemble more with other life's precious faith,
sure,
then do so in a smaller arrangement.
Absolutely.
Not necessarily require that on the full assembly. Would that be an adequate compromise?
Well,
there's other things you can do. You can call Josh. You can talk for an hour, but you need to give up the floor.
Well, I will. After this, I will. I promise.
Okay.
1 Corinthians, 10th chapter. This is parallel to Romans 14 about the eating of meats. If one of the unbelievers invites you to dinner and you are disposed to go, eat whatever is set before you without raising any question on the ground of conscience. But if someone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it for the sake of the one who informed you and for the sake of conscience. I do not mean your conscience, but his. For why should my liberty be determined by someone else's conscience? My liberty should not be determined by someone else's conscience. I have the liberty with my brother Stan or anyone else, brother Scribes, who desires to meet, that should not be limited by someone else's conscience. We are bending ours to the brothers and sisters to permit them to leave after 9 a.m.
Okay, very good.
Why is my conscience
very good
held down?
Okay. My conscience would be that we don't need to meet or shouldn't even consider meeting for 4 hours every weekday night. That could be my conscience. I think we really need to do that, and you disagree with me.
No.
That's just an example.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
The problem here in Romans 14 is we got two different brothers here that both have weak consciences. You have a weak conscience. That's what you're saying. And under Romans 14, your brethren should allow that and work with you on that. Problem is, we got Tommy, and that's what I'm talking about. Tommy's got a weak conscience as well. And we're going to stumble back before him, you know, by what we do. So that's the consideration that's what we're talking about. We've got phone calls. Have you been on the phone a lot with your brethren? Or have you done Facebook with your brethren? Have you got on, what's it called, when three or four people can get on the phone at the same time?
I want to say party line just because I think it's funny.
It's not. But see, there's things that can be done to meet those needs. All I was saying a while ago, and I'm really not sure because I got into it. I'm trying to be quick. Words flow with me like water. I have to get word bites. When you throw so much at me, I'm catching 10% if I'm lucky, okay? You got to keep that in mind when you're talking, especially in a situation like this. All of our comments need to be succinct to the point.
That was as succinct as I could get.
That wasn't very succinct. It needs to be more succinct. You accused me of wrongdoing, and I don't know what that is yet. And I would like to hear it, because if it's something I need to repent of, I need to know what that is. Right? You accuse me of wrongdoing.
I have not necessarily. Okay. Until you walk over my conscience.
Okay. You're not. I thought you said I did.
No.
Okay. Anyway, I wasn't talking about me. I was talking about Tommy and the two unknowns. Okay? All right? I could live with it myself. I just made the point 51.4% of the respondents don't want the three. Should we decide against them for the sake of the few? We can do that as men. We don't want to have it. This is not a democracy. We can decide that if we need to, okay? But what we need to do, just to raise the question, and I answered it, we need to figure out what we're going to do with those people, okay? Are we going to disregard them? Are we going to ask them, would you be tempted to sin? Because if they don't sin, it's really not an issue, okay? But if they really don't think it's safe for them to come, for those 3 or 4 hours, kind of Wednesday night, they come anyway. Is that something good that we should be doing? I'm going to give it back to you. I'm not the moderator here.
That's fair. Okay.
All right, so that got us past bubble one of the 16 bubble flow chart. On to bubble two. The question is, if we have conflicting consciences, is there something that we can do that does not offend any of the consciences? There was one that was just suggested, which was, what if we had gatherings that weren't called assemblies? We can actually, again, this would be a question of whether it offends people's consciences, but we actually can have those in the building. I would be significantly more likely to come here and listen to Stan preach a sermon at 9 a.m. than I would be to listen to his sermon at 5 p.m. And there are logical reasons for that. I won't go into them. It doesn't matter. Stan could get up in that pulpit and talk at 9 a.m. without it being a called assembly. In fact, if somebody felt like having a Tuesday night Bible study, and they can't social distance in their home because their home's too tiny, but they can't hear in this room, they could have that here on Tuesdays, all spread out, and invite whoever in the world they wanted, and that wouldn't be a called assembly. So then, bubble number two is, would there be anyone whose conscience was violated if we had gatherings here at which we worshipped, which weren't called assemblies?
I.e. men's study or ladies' study, where it's a selected group or a small group, or if you can come, you can come.
It can not be necessarily. It could be everybody. Yep. You know, whoever wants to. Hey, I'm going to stand at the building, read some scripture, and sing for an hour. Anyone wants to come can come. The point is, it being a called assembly, we've made very clear in previous discussions, is a distinct, different thing. Mm-hmm. And that is what is being hit upon with the consciences. I personally am significantly more impacted from Hebrews 10 and the not forsaking of the assembling of yourselves together. I am significantly more impacted by the decrease in assembling outside of worship services right now than I am the decrease in assembling during worship services right now. Significantly. Spending time, you know, in smaller groups, one-on-one talking. And kind of like Dennis said, a multiplicity of words hitting him at once, he's only going to pick up bits and pieces. That's how I am on the phone. I need to be physically with someone if I'm going to have that edifying interaction that I need to have. But anyhow, bubble number two is that, the non-called assembly.
Goes back what you were saying, Justin, to what the Bible prescribes. Zoom, Bible didn't prescribe that. Facebook, Bible didn't prescribe that. Telephone, Bible didn't prescribe that. They met one another's homes daily, and they assembled. Much like what Brother Justin was saying. That's how the edification is to be done, and that's why it's most effective in that way.
From just being an outsider coming into this one meeting, I can sense that there's quite a divide here. So I would motion that we put it off for another month to make any changes so that we can talk with more brethren, find out what more of the consensus is, that we can make a decision at another time.
That was actually Josh's motion. And I'm ready to second his motion now. Brethren, we have spent in the past year plus now making very, very great efforts to be accommodating to one another and to maintain our strength and unity in those things. And I appreciate so much everyone in regard to this. This does not and should not be a point of contention with us. It has to be and should not be.
Amen.
And I want everyone, that's the one thing I'm all for, let's put this away. This is the first contentious, in any way contentious or divisive or even anything other than easy to do, meeting we've had since the eldership was off. And I don't like this. I don't like these feelings. We need to be careful about what we say to each other and how we approach these things, and if there's going to be a problem, I want a month to think about it. I want a month to think about it. I don't like this, and I don't think we ought to be doing this. I'm sorry,
but love is patient.
This shows the wisdom of having elders that way.
Just to touch on this right here, the problem with, I think, the atmosphere right now is that we're under time pressure. If we could either come back at another time and sit here and relax and not feel like we need to get out to get back to the families to eat and all this stuff. Because we're all thinking, we got to get out of here. Let's solve this thing. But we could work it out. We could come to a solution. We could come to an answer as long as we're not pushing and prodding, you know, and just hear each other out and figure it out.
I second that.
And we can do that this week or next week. It doesn't have to be a men's business meeting. Just whatever men would like to get together and talk so we can figure this out. We could do that. We could have an email discussion. We did that with the elders, remember?
Does anybody object to tabling this to a later and encourage everybody to discuss this among each other? Because, like I said, the more discussion we have, the better we will be able to make a decision when we come together again.
I want to say one more thing, and this is just something to bear in mind. Not everybody here has children, but the lack of Bible class is a problem for my family. I educate my children, but being in Bible class is important for the younger people. And whatnot. So that's my only, you know.
Okay.
I think we need to do something about getting our Bible classes back online. I know that requires teachers. cetera, et cetera, another issue. But just something to bear in mind when I ask anybody to make decisions about that, just please bear that in mind.
It is important.
Our children are lacking Bible classes.
I'm glad we're starting those classes back up all Wednesday for the kids.
And teachers are in place, or can be in place, to teach the kids. That's not a good thing.
Right.
Any new news?
Yeah. Just one more thing before we close. This is kind of not the business, but there's going to be several here, not here Wednesday night, myself, Dan,
John.
I need a Bible, I'm sorry, I need a song leader for Wednesday night.
You do?
Okay. So song leader, they said I know about the partner meeting, but since we're all here, we need somebody to do the song leading on Wednesday night. So, and Rick said he'd do it, so.
Justin, would you do the invitation as well?
I got one new item. Donna texted me after services this morning. She could not see the words on the last two songs, and she could not hear Thackeray at all.
I'm sitting over here.
So
that's, they need to make sure we're here.
No, she's at home.
At home.
She's watching the thing.
Oh,
yeah.
The prayer was my fault. I should have gone up front. I didn't consider that mic.
Okay.
She said she couldn't see the words. Yeah. That's probably my fault.
Forgot to put it up. Okay.
I looked down and saw halfway through the song. Halfway through the song, I didn't put it up. Not at the beginning. It was just fine.
Something else happened weird, because we watch on Wednesdays even though we're not here. But the songs were showing, but we could read the words.
Yeah.
They were bleeding into the blue background.
Center, I don't think I had it as tight as I possibly could. And there were a couple of settings.
Okay.
That was the first time I'd used it.
Okay.
So I think that's why I wasn't as clear on Wednesday as it has been when he set it up.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, it was much better this morning.
Okay. Dick, you have something to add?
How is this? Make a decision on that.
Yes.
Yeah. Of course, with the dentist commenting on masking, on the wearing the mask and everything, said I think God should do. And of course, the whole general public, and with this COVID-19 thing, according to the consensus of all that we did the. Well, everybody got blacks on it, you know,
right.
And people got back to work, and they found out that which is good, that everybody in public wears masks, it'll be over sooner, you know, and of course everybody in the congregation does it at the building, but if it, so in other words, when we ever come to a decision, you can't take effect until they get the COVID-19 under control. The only way to get it under control is if everybody in the population wears masks. And when they made that decision that everybody wears masks on 2 weeks ago, 6 o'clock Friday or something like that, went to programs, everybody had masks except one the day before. Nobody, 20% didn't, you know. And so you got to take that in consideration and bear reckon which way it is.
Well, I think it's pretty much understood no matter what decision we decide in the near future, we're going to continue wearing masks and social distancing and the seats like we've been doing. We're not planning on changing any of that anytime soon at all. Anybody have anything else? All right, appreciate it, guys.